And good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, dear listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Monday session of our business and economic segment discussion. As always, this is where we dissect, where we go a little bit further into the realms of understanding, you know, how the broader economic situation works, how it gets impacted, how it flows, how it ebbs, how it impacts you and me. Believe me, it impacts us all. Because I cannot sit here on a lofty perch indicating, yes, this is what we've got. But unfortunately, the acting game in terms of how economic policies, how economic machinations, how economic workings impact us, it's one of the core discussion points that we aim to bring you here on the Business and Economic Zone of your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, as mentioned, and as I alluded to, just as Envalde finished off with his discussion coming there from the home run, it's a key factor because our springboard comes from one of the articles in our The Villager e-paper edition of the 9th of July. If you haven't read it as yet, please do. Okay, it's our Saturday. It was our Saturday edition. In terms of where the discussion point there stems from, that Namibia spent 160 million Namibian dollars on fertilizer and pesticides from Russia. Now, look, guys, we cannot ignore the impact that was caused by the Ukraine conflict. The impact that I'm talking about is the sanctions thrown on, the reactionary or the reactionary political moves that were made by the NATO guys and everyone in Europe, those in the EU bloc, all that. You know, we can't ignore that facet. But starting off from Namibia's perspective, in terms of how you see how important fertilizer is. Now, it's key to point out that in terms of Namibia's, you know, crop industry, our crop growing industry, for now, I haven't seen anyone indicating, or any sort of like association, farmers association, or anyone indicating, you know, that going ahead towards our next rainy season, which ultimately also is aligned with our crop growing season. For those of you that regularly aim, you know, are involved in the cultivation and harvesting of crops, especially in the main regions that are responsible for this crop growing practice to take place, you would know that, you know, discussion points so far have only been about delayed rain, rainy seasons, or delayed rains for said crops to enjoy, and said plantations and said, you know, small-scale projects in order for them to be successful. The other major thing that seems to become one of the major sort of like political talking points is the global fertilizer and pesticide industry and market. Now, we factor into that. We factor into it as a customer country, as a consumer country. We factor into that because we have to source and we have to buy. But ultimately, here's the downside. In the report from Saturday's article from the Villager e-paper, it indicates that for the first 3 months, this is only for the first 3 months of this year, of 2022, Namibia increased or had an increased rate of importing fertilizer and pesticides from Russia. Now, in that aspect, you've got to understand that Namibia imported 11.4 million kilograms. So that will put it at 11.4 million kilograms. It's a bit heavy, but it's large shipments that we imported. This also includes the pesticides from Russia at a cost of 160 million Namibian dollars. Now, this is a major jump if you compare it to last year, the same period, last year 2021. Wherein we imported 1.3 million kilograms at a cost of 6.4 million Namibian dollars for the first 3 months of 2021. Now, this is all based upon the Namibia Statistics Agency's, you know, sort of like their look on the Q1 or first quarter agricultural bulletin. Because this is what the NSA does. They take a holistic view. They take an overall look at the Namibian economy, especially how we trade with other countries, what we sell, what we bring in, meaning what we sell, what we buy. Who are these partner trading countries that we have these, you know, this trading relationship with, as well as also what are these goods? What are they? The ones that are being bought and sold between the countries. Now, it's key to understand this because it's key to also understand how and where you can see shortages, especially if your country doesn't produce a specific product or good. And it seeks a partner country, meaning a country it can source, affordable, not cheap, but affordable product that can supplement its own industries in that same sense. It's key to have such relations, such trading avenues, such trading channels, especially for a country like Namibia. Now, in most parts, guys, Russia has not been, you know, Namibia is one of Namibia's main trading partners. Russia has not been that. First and foremost, just to be, you know, to add that brutal honesty, I would, you know, it would be safe to look at that Namibia and Russia are too far to have such direct links, as well as also to try and find a way in terms of having direct channels of trade. Look, in any book, in any scenario, it's always good to have as much trading partners as possible. But sometimes when you find yourself at two polar opposites of the world, meaning like literally, Namibia is at the furthest point of the African continent, Russia is at the most northern point of the European continent or the European and Asian continents. So you've got to look at how far that distance is for good to travel to another country. This does factor in costs that you've got to look at, and it also factors in, you know, waiting times, travel times, storage times, all that, you know, other in-between factors that you've got to consider in the global supply chain scenario. But, based upon this discussion, fertilizer has become one of the most political hot potato subjects in the world. Why do I say this? Well, because unbeknownst, or should I say rather, oblivious to many of us, that includes me as well, guys, because it's very interesting to read up on these discussion points in terms of preparation for the business and economic zone, but you also get rude awakenings in terms of seeing how important a country like Russia is. How important a country like Russia. I'll emphasize that again. How important a country like Russia is. Now,
kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningisa ozere, nukse spika numpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke, ramangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan tani kuiruga na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kurugane ya wamba. Moktura mwe hundiro liye ya wamba zuma uko uko, ndi mwagwana kuma pukuru kumanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndi dingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commanders say hold fire, they hold fire. fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Now, as we come back from extended break right there, the point in terms of how you start seeing where Russia has an importance in terms of the global trade scenario becomes a frightening discussion point. Now, I say this because, let's understand, guys, it's not being in awe of what Russia can produce. Well, technically, it is in one point. But it's also the realization that we end up with. Now, let me start with this. And it's not to ring any alarm bells. It's not also to sound any warnings in terms of, for those of you that are farmers, especially production farmers. But if you have to understand that these sanctions that Russia were hit with can and does potentially impact this scenario of fertilizer supply. Now, first, I'm going to give you an overview of who are the largest exporters. And this is according to the OEC. The OEC is one of those research international research bodies. If you want to check it out yourself, you can always go to oec.world and then you just search for fertilizers. And this discussion point is pretty, you know, eye-opening. So, what do we start with first? Now, as mentioned, Namibia, in terms of our introduction to the program, Namibia has seen increased trade between them and ourselves and Russia in terms of fertilizer, the only product there, to a tune of 160 million Namibian dollars. So, that comes out at least, if you have to break it up, 160 divided by 2 is 80 already. So, that puts you at least at a positive average of about 50 point something million a month in terms of trade for the 3 months between Namibia and Russia. It's in Namibian dollars, meaning it's in rand, so it might be a negligible amount for Russia, but it still factors on our trading balance with an international trading country. Now, from there, the fertilizer industry in 2020 was the world's 47th most traded product. So it's not even in the top 10 or top 20 most traded products in the world, with a total trade value of at least $62.6 billion. Now, between 2019 and 2020, the exports of fertilizers decreased by -8% or almost -9%. So that's in the span of, we can obviously see what happened between 2019 and 2020. You had various things happen, and then the major bombshell being that of the COVID pandemic. And that culminated in a clean $6 billion in terms of that decrease of activity. And that the trade in fertilizers also represent at least 0.4% of total world trade. So fertilizers, you might be thinking, it's a negligible statistic. It's something you can look past. But if you have to look at who were the biggest importers of fertilizer in the world, all these countries that I'm going to mention to you now are technically the countries that are in charge of global agricultural activity. So, the top importers for the year of 2020, as of 2020, was Brazil, number one, India, US, China, and France. France is synonymous because of the global wine industry. That's now internationally, because France is the country that is telling all the other wine-producing countries like China, like the US, and like Brazil that they can't use the label champagne on their sparkling wine. Technically, champagne is sparkling wine and vice versa, but it's just the French enjoy the label champagne because it comes from the valley the historical and geographic valley in France by the same name, by the name of Champagne. And that also goes for the other wine products, or the other grape products that that are technically the other wine products that you can find. Now, in that same space, Brazil accounted as the biggest importer of fertilizer for at least $7.8 billion. India accounted for $6.5 billion. The US $5.3 billion, China $2.6 billion, and France $1.8 billion. Now, having a look at this scenario of fertilizers, we've got to understand with who the biggest exporters are. Russia is the biggest by a clear country mile, because no one comes close in terms, except for China, but no one comes close in terms of its market dominance. China stands at 11.2%. Russia exports or has a 12.1% market dominance. So that's almost a clear 1% difference between those two countries. However, anyone else that is an exporter of fertilizer is either just below 10% or just below 9%, or is hovering below the 5% mark in terms of what they are exporting. Morocco, surprisingly, guys, also features in there as one of the largest exporters. Now, they are all broken up into the continents that they are from. Russia, globally, the highest, but first in Europe, followed by Belarus. North America, it's Canada by 8.7%, the US by 5.8%. In Asia, you've got China ahead by a clear country mile at 11.2%, because the closest, largest exporter of fertilizer is Saudi Arabia at 4.02%. In Africa, Morocco is the largest at 5.9%, technically 6% in terms of what they are contributing. And they are the clear dominating country in that sector. On the continent. Now, I'm going to pull you back into last month, where the Nigerian billionaire, Dangote, indicated that his fertilizer business has come in demand because of the major impact that is being seen and being witnessed in the global agricultural industry. Now, this stems from the sanctions that Russia are facing. They are facing it because they are already experiencing the sanctions. And also the impact that Ukraine is also experiencing, because Ukraine was the production hub for wheat and other grains and stuff that the Mediterranean countries are enjoying. Ultimately, we as a country, as Namibia, how we factor into this is just in terms of the purchasing of that fertilizer directly, because any other process to do with the Ukraine conflict most notably comes through South Africa in terms of South Africa's manufacturing processes. Now, we won't take a step back from the discussion point, but we're taking a step further and a step sideways in terms of how this conflict impacts the global fertilizer market. Now, the Dutch bank, Rabobank, did a nice little piece of research on this aspect back in April, where they looked at the impact of this war, of this conflict, on the global fertilizer market. Now, it's key to understand this, guys, because everything impacts something else somewhere. That's the process that I'm also indicating to you here, because you've got to see the big picture. Namibia is the small picture. Okay, we had increased activity between us and Russia for fertilizer purchases. Good. But that's only for the first 3 months. It would be very interesting to see, what happened for the second quarter between March, from April to June. And since we are only now seeing, you know, the first quarter's activity for fertilizers, it would be key to see the trend analysis in leading into the second quarter. But let's first put that idea, shelve it a little bit, because we will come back to it a little bit later here on the Business and Economic Zone. Not for tonight's discussion, a little bit later, because you have to practice something known as trend analysis. We know where we were there, we know what happened then, but we want to see how it is going along per each time scenario. Now, the Europeans back in April, and this is according to Rabobank, have noted that higher fertilizer prices and or a shortage of fertilizer supply resulting from the conflict itself have not made immediate impacts on food prices or food production. Now, let's understand this, guys. This is 3 months back, this report. This is 3 months back. So, at that stage, some of the European banks were already analyzing the scenario, but did not see any direct shocks coming through. Now, the Rabobank noted here also that at that current stage in April, that the fertilizer market in the Northern Hemisphere was relatively quiet. It's the same thing that I indicated here in the introduction of the program, that currently we haven't seen crop producers sounding any form of an alarm with regards to fertilizers. Guys, you might think that fertilizers is something that's a negligible discussion, but it's actually an input. It's an overhead. It's an input cost into the production of the crop. It's an input cost. You had to pay to get this here because you want to maximize your yield, right? Now, Rabobank noted that all transoceanic flows for the upcoming Northern Hemisphere spring, their spring starts in April, ending in August, alongside their summer, have already taken place. So that would mean supply chains or supplies of, supplying the various needed materials in terms of the international agricultural industry has most probably taken place back then in April or late March. And they also noted that the movements are now primarily at local level, meaning it's now for the farmers to head to the distribution points or the distributors or the retailers, the agricultural retailers, to purchase their said fertilizer or their demand for fertilizer at that level. So meaning supply chain scenarios were still fine. They were still okay. They were still sound. No major cost movements, no major price movements, no major supply shortages being sounded anywhere. So, what they noted was that from the import ports and or the domestic production locations to the farm fields was the micro level that you had to look at, or the primary level that you had to look at. Now, starting from this point, the impact has actually happened somewhere else in the fertilizer field, in the fertilizer industry. And this is key, guys, because we've got to understand one of the world's biggest...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The first two crop growing zones in the world, because unfortunately that is how it is being clustered together. The first crop growing zones that are at risk of any move in terms of price or supply for fertilizers is India and Latin America. But India, let's understand this, not as much, because India themselves put in place certain mechanisms in order to look firstly at their energy supply and then ultimately looking at their own agricultural sector. And lastly, also, because India also experienced one or other catastrophe with their recent harvests. Now, you have to understand, India has also produces wheat. They also produce rice. Because one of the staple foods, or one of the staple foods in Southeast Asia, or that Southern Asian countries, from Pakistan heading into Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, that region of countries heading into the island nations like Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, them. Those guys have a mixture of either dough, meaning grain-based staple foods, and rice. So they combine two types of staples or starch-based foods there. But right there, they've already made their moves. South America, not so much. Because South America is highly exposed, especially due to the soybean production. Now, soybean production, guys, is a plant protein. I'm explaining now the importance of soybean, especially because soybean production helps to supplement various other agricultural processes. For example, soybean is one of the input materials or input foods to help animal husbandry, meaning if you want your cattle to put more weight on, to have more meat on them, soybeans are factored into the feed for cattle. Now, I'm not going to go into the discussion point or the demand that crop cultivation that supplements livestock or animal husbandry. I'm not going to go in that discussion for tonight because this fertilizer discussion is pretty broad itself and it is pretty impactful itself. The main reason for that is because of Argentina and Brazil. Now, Argentina and Brazil, guys, are not just two big cattle exporting countries or beef exporting countries, but they're also, on one part, crop cultivating or crop exporting countries, especially Brazil, especially on Brazil's side. You see, because Brazil has got a very diverse or an extremely diverse agricultural industry themselves, they can most probably compete with the US and with a country like Australia or even with a country like South Africa on what they can deliver on agricultural production. They can do that. If you guys can remember the major uproar that took place just 5 years back about the Brazilian chicken that was imported into South Africa, then we find it here in our shops here in Windhoek or in Namibia. That's Brazil's production. That's their means. That's their capability of production. They can do that. They can play on that global scale. Now, the question here comes in with what you find in the fertilizer. And this is where the threat to the global fertilizer industry takes place. Now, I'm going even more deeper, guys. I hope you guys, you've taken the notes. Now, why fertilizer is under threat from this Ukraine conflict is because of a component or an element known as potash. Now, potash is key for example, soybean production or some crop productions or crop harvests to take place. Potash is found within fertilizers. Now, this already signals to countries, or especially in the Latin American continent, that's South America, that regular supply is going to be an issue of fertilizer, or the regular quantity of the supply is going to be an issue. Because Belarus and Russia account for 40% of the world's potash production and its exports. Not fertilizer, potash production and exports. So, if we rewind a little bit, I indicated that Russia is number one in the world, right? In terms of fertilizer production. But there's something else that Russia also is key at producing and exporting. Potash. Potash is key is an element found in the fertilizer itself. Now, consequently, Brazil's 2023 soybean harvest might be the first crop to experience direct negative impacts from the Ukraine conflict. Now, as mentioned, this report from Rabobank notes that within this year of 2022, some of Latin America's markets don't need fertilizer demand in their fields or in their agricultural industries until the month of September this year, which means that fertilizers need to arrive at Brazilian ports in July or August, and that there is still a period of at least 2 to 3 months if we work now from July to August for September. But if the scenario has not changed since when this report was written in April, it could be already alarm bells sounding off there in Latin America. But let's understand, what is potash? Now, there are three types of fertilizers that farmers must apply to ensure crop growth. And you and I, we met it on high school. We were introduced to this philosophy in terms of, you know, that science class we had in grade 8. I don't know if it changed, but in grade 8, your class was needed to establish its own little school garden where you had to grow various crops like tomatoes. One of them was always a tomato. I know that because there was one uniformity in terms of that approach. Grow a tomato plant. But what the crops need from a fertilizer is that they need nitrogen, they need phosphate, and they need potash. Now, potash is just another name for potassium. The symbol K that you find what's that diagram of elements? It's potassium. It's the symbol K. Now, all three of these are sold in the global market. Let's understand that also. Because you can find a different supplier, but it's just about the quantity that you want. That's the only thing. And their production is also geographically concentrated and dominated by a handful of countries or miners. That's especially to have to do with the phosphate and the potassium or potash elements. And are somewhat a larger group of chemical companies that can produce the nitrogen element. Now, Russia and Belarus are key mining and production regions for potash. Russia is a relevant source of nitrogen as well. In addition to its role as a major producer of these two fertilizers, Russia is also a key supplier of the main raw material for nitrogen fertilizer, natural gas. So, this is mainly relevant, for example, in the EU and India discussion points, as their domestic nitrogen production depends highly on the imported natural gas aspect. So, potash, guys. Potash. Technically, or i.e., potassium, is a key ingredient in fertilizers. It's a key ingredient. Let's not forget it. And potash, to explain it in more layman's terms for you and me, potash is potassium-rich salt. So look at it as a salt grain, but it's just rich in potassium. That is mined from underground deposits that are formed from evaporated seabeds millions of years back. Now, potassium is the essential element for all plant and animal and human life, because we also take potassium in. It's one of the key things to help our bodily functions function properly, because we need potassium. If you guys did not know that, well, it was also indicated to me in a little subject known there at NUST as basic science. Potassium, nitrogen, and how could I forget the last element? the element of phosphate is key to your bodily functions. Yes, guys, it's key. You don't need it in large quantities, but you just need it every day. So your body sources it from every food that you eat every day. Your body sources it. Now, let's understand that this conflict and the sanctions have instantaneously cut off the global markets from nitrogen and potash fertilizers. Instantaneously. Nitrogen, as mentioned, it's a derivative from the natural gas that Russia exports to the EU and other countries in its immediate proximity. The potash is mined. It's a mining mineral. It's mined, it's excavated from the ground. So it's ultimately, well, it is a salt, but it's ultimately a mineral that you have to extract. Now, this is likely to result in an imbalance in supply and demand. It's most likely to do so because who are the biggest importers that I indicated to you? The biggest importers being that of the likes of France, Brazil, India, the US, and China. China and Brazil can most probably strike a deal with Russia. Most probably. Very easily because they're part of the BRICS union. It's the question of France and the US that's a little bit on the other side of the scenario, because you have to look at the value of slapping on sanctions on a country that is a key or that has one of the highest deposits of minerals in the world. There's another one that we have here in the continent, which is DRC. The DRC. But if you have to look at the portfolio of minerals that Russia has, something as little as potassium, guys. Potash. The mineral used in fertilizers has become a global sort of like a soccer ball in global political and economic discussions with regards to the global supply and also maintaining the global agricultural industry. Now, we've got to understand potash refers to this group of potassium-bearing minerals and chemicals that is found or that is excavated. And this compound, or the compound known as potassium chloride, is a dominating force in the world potash market. From there, potassium is an important element because when there is a potassium deficiency in the soil, this is for you to listen in terms of if you're a crop grower. If your soil that you have to grow your mahangu or your maize or your tomatoes or your potatoes or your onions in, if your soil, your ground, your is potassium deficient, fertilizers containing potassium are used to help boost the crop yield from it, from that piece of land, from that piece of ground. And it also improves the quality of the plant because the plant needs the mineral or needs the nutrient from the ground to suck it up. They need it. It's essential. You need the ground to be healthy for the plant to have a yield. Now, potassium protects plants from extreme temperatures as well. It helps the plants also to fight stress and disease and to recover from the stress and the disease. It also deters pests such as weeds and insects. Potassium.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always prepared.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy to use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now, as we come back from our extended break right there, potash, guys, if you would not believe it, has become one of those key elements in the global fertilizer trade that is impacted by the sanctions. Now, other benefits that potassium provides, it stops wilting in plants. So if you want your crops to be sturdy, to be hardy during stressful times of the year, especially with the intense heat that we sometimes experience and then also intense cold sometimes, it prevents your plant from wilting. It strengthens your root, the plant's roots, and also its stems. And it assists in its transference of or transferring food. Now, it also activates enzymes within the plant to ensure that the plant uses water more efficiently. Higher levels of potassium in the soil helps the crop withstand stressful external conditions. Now, this, guys, is key in terms of understanding why the scenario for potassium can most probably change. Now, reverting back and delving back to the Rabobank report, is that Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine share together a sort of like an overall picture of their global nitrogen and potash production and exports that reveals a vulnerability for the global fertilizer and agricultural industries. Belarus's contribution in terms of their production and exports. So you get the various contributions in terms of the minerals used for fertilizer production, like ammonia, urea, ammonium sulfate, ammonium nitrate. Then you also get phosphoric acid, as well as also monoammonium phosphate. And also their contribution in terms of muriate of potash. Muriate of potash is the element that is excavated or that is extracted. Together, Belarus is, you know, factors into sort of like if you count them into the Russian sort of like aspect, because Belarus is also impacted with the sanctions. Belarus is the smallest guy in this equation because all their percentages, except for the ammonium nitrate production, is below 1%. And also for the muriate of potash segment, which stands at 18%. Their exports overall, muriate production or muriate potash stands at 21%. Everything else that I mentioned is below the 1% mark, like the ammonia, the urea, the ammonium sulfate, and even the phosphoric acid. Everything of, so Belarus is, you know, impact, or if you take them out of the equation in terms of global fertilizer demand and supply and production, it's nothing. You won't feel it. It's Russia and Ukraine. At ammonium nitrate production and the production level for Russia, it stands at 26%. Their exports stand at 45 or 46%. For something like ammonia, remember, ammonia is also used in fertilizer production, or it's also added to fertilizers. It's 11%. What they export is 23%. For Ukraine, Ukraine is on the level of Belarus, but Ukraine's importance mostly lies within the crop cultivation aspect, because they were such a big supplier to the Middle East and other markets around the world. That's not for Ukraine, not in the fertilizer production aspect. But here's how dependent, and this is a nice graphic that I've got open up in front of me. This is how dependent some countries are on specific minerals coming from this fertilizer discussion. So for nitrogen, In the global scene, for nitrogen, the areas most at risk of a nitrogen deficiency, meaning nitrogen-enriched fertilizers, is Middle East and Africa is last. Before it, you get the Soviet Union countries. The former Soviet Union countries. That's now everyone from Moldova to Lithuania to Hungary to... who else was there? Not Romania. But everyone here in the Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, all those countries that formed part of the former Soviet Union, the satellite states that are just around Russia's borders. Europe. South America, Estonia, and Brazil. But I don't know why they took Brazil out of South America, but still, these are the guys most at risk of a nitrogen deficiency in terms of fertilizer supply with nitrogen. For phosphates, it's the same list once again. For potash, it's the same list, but you've got to take out one or two areas. Because here, you've got to include Southeast Asia, you've got to include Middle East and Africa, you've got to include South America, most of Europe, the US, which is technically the whole world, except for the Oceania countries, which is Australia and New Zealand, because they're just too far. Now, in the last 5 minutes still, we've got to factor in, we've got to wrap our heads around this notion, guys, because if something as little, as small, and sometimes deemed as insignificant, like fertilizer, becomes a major trading or major political mechanism, or is weaponized in the global trade realm, then you've got to understand that what else can also be impacted because of this conflict. Now, the analysis with regards to the clear and very crystal analysis was done in the article there in the Villager e-paper by my colleague Inomenwa. He did a clear analysis of the scenario with regards to Namibia's trade relationship with Russia, especially on the notion of fertilizer and the fertilizer industry. It's very clear. It goes into detail in terms of the quantities, amounts, you know, trading quantities and the value of the trading quantities. Here on the Business and Economic Zone, it's fast to understand the big picture with regards to such items, such trade items. Look, fertilizer is technically not a commodity, but it's the most undercover trading item in the world. No one would think of fertilizer. You would not even think of fertilizer when I ask you about, you know, a trade relation between two countries, perhaps. You wouldn't even think of fertilizer, but fertilizer is there. Fertilizer is there. Fertilizer is key. And it's one of the key things when 2 months back, when I read one or two articles around Ali Dangote from Nigeria saying that his fertilizer supply has become sort of like hot business in the global supply. It has become hot property. Just fertilizer supply. His fertilizer business has become hot property because people are now running to him for orders to see whether he can supply countries. I'm not talking about just a client in a country. Countries. Now already, he himself finds himself, that's not Dangote and his enterprise, finds himself in a very positive scenario because Nigeria already has the capability of producing the nitrogen element, which comes from natural gas, because Nigeria has natural gas reserves. But Namibia also stands a chance to factor into that global supply for fertilizer, especially nitrogen-based fertilizer, or the element of nitrogen itself in a further production of fertilizer. Because with these two oil discoveries, why not? Remember, where you find oil is also where you find liquid nitrogen gas or liquid natural gas. Sorry, not nitrogen, liquid natural gas. Where you find oil is where you find LNG, as it's known. So, the opportunity for further value addition in our market or in our industry also exists. For further value addition, it's just all about how to get that gas from the sea, from the seabed, onto the shore. And obviously, the notion of the cost implications associated to that. But, as mentioned, that is still a ways away. And ultimately, it does bring me up to the end of today's discussion point here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And this has been your Business and Economic Zone. Also, you can catch me same time, same place tomorrow. And also on the earlier edition or the earlier show, that being the Brand Conversation, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Signing on this note, also the matriarch is ready and awaiting me to vacate the seat so that she can come in and dazzle you with her performances and her discussion points once again. But on this note, let's see each other again, same time, same place, and take care.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep, dit was baie dapper.
Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.